This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope.
Name any word in less than a second, I will tell you how many letters are in it. But I cannot do anything mechanically. I don't even know how to put a game together for three-year-olds.
And the Bulldog.
Fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
And so we graduate from the Combine. But don't you dare sit down. It's legal tampering time. And then free agency. And, oh, the draft. And the schedule. Eventually, there is a break.
There's some time to go fishing. Or whatever it is you like to do in your spare time. I don't know why I landed on fishing, but I did.
Nothing against it.
No, I don't do it, but I have enjoyed it when I have done it.
Okay.
Maybe it's because I'm thinking about Jimmy Johnson. Retiring today. So I think of him as someone who's living in the Florida Keys and just sitting on a boat with a line in the water.
I did a double take, but I did think about the math, and it's right that he was at Fox for 31 years.
Okay, explain that to me, because I also was stunned by that number and like got out my phone calculator. I'm like, okay, let me see here. 2024 wow. Minus 30, 1993?
Well, it's 25, but 93, he coaches the Cowboys to a Super Bowl win, and then he's out. They broke up right after that.
Oh, right, and he did. Okay, yeah, good. Thank you.
Barry Switzer.
I just looked at, you know, when he last coached and picked up from there, and that's 25 years, and I missed that he was there and then went.
Oh, you know what, though? Right, Miami.
Yeah, he's 99.
That's right. 63-7.
So in,
right?
Yeah, 62-7 against Jacksonville was his last game in the night that those playoffs that year. So
maybe he did work for them.
That's what I have to
before
think.
And during that.
Yeah,
you know, like they go out of the playoffs and he comes into
something. Yeah,
okay, that's probably right.
Yeah, because I also struck because you know I guess this is me. I don't know what your motivation was. Mine was I'm not that old. In some degree, I'm like 31 years.
It makes you think that he's been retired for that long, which he quite hasn't. He hasn't been retired right. For quite that long.
Right. It's got to be that.
Did you know, like Matt Ryan, for one, goes into the booth before he's retired, like the season ends and then he's there. Guys like that.
Right.
Maybe J.J. Watt did that. I don't know. He's there now.
I didn't go through Johnson's bio thoroughly enough to see if he debuted there, but that timeline would make sense. When he was out in Dallas, maybe he did some studio work there and then ended up going back in. Because it was kind of surprising when he went back, because he sounded like when he left Dallas, like he was going to be very happy just being on a boat for the rest of his life. So it would make sense if he dabbled in TV before getting back into coaching. So that timeline makes sense then.
So, right, June is
anyway,
kind of a break.
Sorry, didn't mean to get off on a Jimmy Johnson tangent so early anyway.
Did you watch much of the Combine?
I was out a couple of times on Friday and Saturday, and it was on where I was. At one point, I think on Saturday, I did turn it on for a bit, but I didn't. You know, I mostly followed along on Twitter with the freak show that my safety dude from South Carolina, Emin Worry, put on. And
that was Friday.
Okay. And then I thought I was going to see Milroe do some stuff, but I don't know, maybe somebody changed the channel in the bar I was in. But I saw him throwing a football and thought, like, oh, he's going to do some drills. And then I never saw it, so I don't know how that went. I know he didn't run, which I was bummed out about because I thought him running would be a story if he ran a really fast time. And, you know, I'm rooting for him to get picked in the top 16.
For money. So that you can win money for me. Top 16.
And I, you know, I like the I mean, I made the bet because I like the player. I like the prospect, and I like the idea of some team being intrigued by his skill set.
You know who Lance Zierlein is?
Yes.
He did a mock draft today. Did you read it?
I did not.
He has Shedeur Sanders going 29th.
Yeah, that's tough for us. Jalen Milroe in the top half of the first round betters.
Dart, it sounds like, could go mid-first round. I saw him a little bit on Saturday. He's got the good name, good face. You know, he's kind of all set. Jackson Dart, you know, that's a guy you'd want.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like a guy you'd want, right? It's tough to watch. I'm interested in the results, too, but I was with a group of guys on Saturday with it on as well. And, you know, you're watching the guy run, and it's like 4-4-1. Oh. The next guy runs. It's like 4-4-3. Oh.
Right.
You know, just, oh.
I heard Steve and Chris on my way in on One Bills Live talking about a video that they create on the Combine show that airs on NFL Network, where they will superimpose all of the players at a certain position, say like running back or wide receiver, and show their 40s all at once. And, like, you know, the separation is just so minuscule. You know,
right.
There's just not a lot of, you know, very rarely do I watch one of those things, even like the record breaking run from last year with Xavier Worthy, and think, like, wow, that guy's really flying. I mean, they're all really flying.
Like, except for the guy that turned his ankle.
Right, that was tough.
Gunnar Helm.
Oh, I did see that. I saw that, and, like, you know, that's one of those things where you make a sound when you see somebody's ankle do that. Like, I mean,
he ran anyway.
Yeah.
He ran twice.
Ran and did all the other, I think he did everything else, too, all with that sprained ankle. It was pretty ghastly looking.
Also, by the way, with the 40, I'm not sure if this is true at all positions, but running back, receiver, they tell you it's like one of the least predictive statistics for guys, like how they're going to be in the pros, because it just seems counterintuitive, right? Like faster is better, bigger is better, faster is better. But all the different factors, the different drills, age, weight, all the different things, like 40 time comes down pretty low, you know, in terms of like what's predictive for a pro career. So even that, knowing that, and I'm watching it, I'm just watching guys who kind of look all the same, big and fast, and there's their time. And you also know, or you might know, that I'm not sure how much this is going to mean to their draft status. One running back who ran a slower time, Caleb Johnson from Iowa, one of the Iowas. And so 4.58 or something like that. And oh no.
Right, he's in real trouble.
4.58, but he's like the biggest of the guys, or one of the big, he's 227 maybe, and I don't even know how bad that is, or what it's going to do to a team.
Right.
You know, maybe if he was going to go in the second or third round probably, does this really change that? Does it necessarily change that? No. I'm not building up to, like, the combine is irrelevant or anything, but yeah. A lot of it, it's just the NFL. Of course, we know a lot of it, a lot more is made out of what's happening than maybe there needs to be.
When you have stories that make the rounds after players get chosen, I think Gabe Davis was one of these, and I think Khalil Shakir, for Buffalo examples, I think it's somewhat, well, I don't know how well known it is. I know I've heard Brandon Bean was rooting for those guys to run slow. He already liked him. They already had interviewed him and talked to him, and they were hoping that his time wouldn't push them up the board. So when you get to a play, and I'm sure, I would guess anyway, I can't be sure of it, but that Brandon Bean does not have the market cornered on that sort of mentality.
Like, no, I
like this guy. I've watched his tape. I hope he doesn't run so well that some team picks him before the value I have on him.
We talked about that a lot last year because that seemed right, and then he even said it, right, later?
Yeah.
So,
I don't know.
Like, but are we in the receiver market? I guess. Not like last year.
No, not like last year. But I think they're going to have to do something. It probably will be a low-rent veteran, I might guess anyway. But that all kind of depends. Like I've said a few times, if they swing big and make a Myles Garrett trade, I don't want to say I don't need a defensive tackle, too. Maybe that would be a great 1-2 punch if I can nail down a huge upgrade like that and still use the 30th pick on a defensive tackle. I did see a mock draft today from PFF that had Kenneth Grant there at 30 for the Bills, and that was the pick that was assigned to them in that mock draft exercise. So that could make a lot of sense, or it also could make you feel like, all right, you're not going to have the 30th pick if you make the Myles Garrett trade, probably. I should stop in my tracks right now. But anyway, you spend assets, multiple assets, to get a guy like that on your team. That might bring receiver back into the mix with a day two pick or something for them. Because they're still going to have, there's a spot there that Amari Cooper was occupying that I think they should want to fill. I don't know how big a piece they want to plug into that hole, but I think there's a hole there that I'm not willing to just assume Keon Coleman steps up and fills.
A lot of things are interesting about it, and I'm a little hesitant, especially like first conversation we had on the first day of the week, because we've just spent so much mileage on receiver. And this year, if you were somebody that thought the receiver thing was just completely out of control, like, what is this every day? Why are we so fixated on that position? This really was your year, because they didn't really nail it at receiver. Like, Coleman he wasn't a home run. Cooper, they went and got, he wasn't a home run. You know, Hollins is kind of limited. Shakir, the floor is high, but it's fine, right? Can I do that? So if you kind of thought the wide receiver, enough about wide receivers, this year, you kind of looked right, because they did not, and even Kincaid. Well, at least Kincaid will, lead them in production. Didn't happen. So nobody really shined, but they won 13 games, and it's not why they lost to the Chiefs.
And they scored a ton of points doing it, too.
Right. Franchise record, right, in scoring. So that was last year, and now we go into this year, and I feel almost the same way. I think it's less likely that they draft a prominent wide receiver in this draft, maybe Saturday or even maybe Friday. But I think last year that felt almost like inevitable because of how that season ended and just, all right, you've waited long enough here. Let's go get a wideout. Diggs.
And the Diggs trade had been made by then, of course.
Right.
And the caliber of the class, too. Like it was a good year for our perceived need of theirs, and a lot of their fans, I think, felt the same way. And there were a lot of guys to talk about. Like it was a good class. It was thought to be one of the best receiver classes, very deep, and therefore got an opinion on this guy, that guy. I mean, we went around and around. I loved Keon Coleman last January, and by March I was like, I don't know. not crazy about him as an idea. You had enough guys there that you could pick 2, 3, 4. I ended up on Worthy by the end, and that didn't go well for me.
Well, it did and it didn't. It didn't go well for them.
Well, right. I didn't get what I want. I didn't get the result I wanted.
Liking him doesn't seem so bad.
Right. No.
So how hard – let me say this and then say the next thing. How hard do we need to work this time around at that position? And the class is seemingly very different than last year, although not all those guys were great, as it turned out. That's to be expected. But how hard do we want to work at – the Bills, which one, how much are they going to pay? Like, how high in the draft will they do it? All that kind of thing when they just had that season. And sure, they'll probably draft somebody or sign somebody, but that doesn't have to amount to, something that looks really different than last year. They will still want Coleman and Kincaid, two recent investments, to blossom. And they're not going to do that by replacing those guys. So I think that's still going to be a priority. And I would think that they are confident enough. I know how they sounded about Coleman, but confident enough that they'll want to make that effort. The thing with them, wide receiver is a microcosm of it. And it's because it's been, how do you want to draw the line. 5 years now, or six even, six playoff teams in a row, five division title teams in a row, and the same story every year, like losing in the playoffs. And, okay, so this year I have needs, maybe receiver is one, defensive line, defensive back, you know, I've got these needs. And there are times when I just think, is it going to be different? Like, if you want, everybody seems to agree, defensive tackle, right? Kenneth Grant, that other mock I mentioned earlier, the guy's name is Walter Nolan from Ole Miss. Yep. It makes sense. Can you get yourself to a place where you go, okay, now they're all set. Like, next year will be different. Now next year they have this. Even if it's an edge rusher. Oh, well, they don't have, like, a big impact edge rusher. Yeah. Okay, so let's say they did. Even if it's Myles Garrett. I mean, that's quintessentially what that would be. You can't, maybe it's the difference. Maybe something else that we wouldn't be talking about is the difference. We won't know for so long.
Right.
And last year there was that. Receiver was really fun to talk about. The Diggs trade was kind of shocking. And, you know, Davis leaving too. Okay, I can play around with this. I've got 10 to 20 names even that are realistic for me.
Yeah, draft, trade ideas. Yeah.
So much.
It was all there. Yeah.
And this year, it's very different from that, and they just had, like, a record-setting season without, you know, scoring, if you will, in that area. So, I mean, every day can be different. And today has been a day for me, really the weekend with the combine, like, okay, the Bills need players. They're going to draft guys. Is this really going to make it feel like things will be different this time? I don't know. It's still Allen, it's still McDermott, there's still Mahomes, there's still Lamar. Like, I don't know what they'll do that will sort of be convincing to me in this way.
Yeah.
Next year, there's no way to know.
Yeah, I think an established player like a Garrett or a Max Crosby or, I mean, I'm hearing Michael Parsons' name. I don't know how realistic any of that is. It seems possible, certainly. I still think Garrett will get moved. I don't know about the timing. It could be June before he gets moved, or July, who knows. Or even camp, you know, you push it into August if you want, when it really sort of gets to a crisis point for the Browns, if it goes past the draft. Like, once you get past that signpost, there's no motivation to get assets that you're going to use in the 2025 draft because it's over. So that's why I mentioned, like, it could kick the can all the way to August at that point if something doesn't happen before then. But you get somebody that is established, I think you don't have to be right about it, but you can feel, I think, more like, okay, there's a difference-making player. And no, I'm not going to know until probably the middle of January or later whether or not it provided me what I really needed. Because if I'm on the same sort of collision course that I've been on the last 5 years, I'm going to maybe need to get past the Chiefs again in the playoffs. And is Garrett going to be able to do, or Crosby or Parsons or whomever, Khalil Mack if you want him, going to be able to do what Von Miller was brought here to do 3 years ago and couldn't do because he got hurt, which is close out a game in the playoffs against them. Get me a three and out and get me the ball back so I can kneel it out, or I can go down and get my field goal and get out of there. That's to me a very different idea. Again, you don't have to be right about assuming it would be different, but you have a track record. You've got established players. So you bring that in and you feel like I'm closer to having what I need. You draft an edge rusher at 30, he could be Jared Verse or he could be Boogie Basham. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to get. So that is sort of, that feels more speculative. Whereas, like I've said a few times, you swing the Garrett trade and then you want to just run everything else that you had back there back next year. I don't love that, but I'm over here with my arms folded going, all right, I see what you're doing. It's like I'm adding a blue chip talent to my roster, and the rest I'm just going to run back and feel like that one guy might make one play, and that's maybe all I need. Again, I don't think the Bills will do that, but it sort of lessens the importance of getting all. It's one of the reasons why you can be okay with trading away, like, say, a one and a three this year and a one next year to get your hands on Myles Garrett if it costs that much, because you're getting a player that decreases your needs, I think, elsewhere on the defense.
you don't need a safety as badly or a corner as badly because you have him, you mean?
I think they were not that far off. I mean, I know they look far off from being able to do what the Eagles did to the Chiefs, but they weren't that far off themselves from beating the Chiefs. So, yeah, I mean, if Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop are my safeties and you have Rasul Douglas or some facsimile thereof, similar type bunny, similar age, similar accomplishments, he's your other corner. Yeah, I think I'm going to run that back. I'll draft some other guys. I'll fill in the depth, and Jordan Phillips will be replaced and whatever else I got to do. But I feel like Garrett is a big enough piece that it would – so, and that's one of the reasons why I feel like receiver, if they perceive it as a need, I wouldn't rule it out early, because I think if they fill a big hole on defense, they might feel compelled to get Josh something else to work with over there.
The only – reason, or the number one reason why I just would not expect receiver in the first round, is because they've just done it twice. One was a tight end, the other was the first pick of round two. I know, but they've just used their top draft asset on wideouts, essentially, and it's debatable just how well enough that's worked. But does a team... how often would a team do that 3 years in a row at any position? You know, like, that's why I'm not expecting it kind of at all there. And, you know, you're saying if there's this trade, then
that's
I don't
the
need
table
to draft
entirely.
That.
Right.
But I don't say all that to mean that I would mind if they did that, mm-hmm. because it's still where I want them.
Yeah.
Receivers.
Just so it's clear, because it might sound like I'm trying to say too many different things at once. I think if they hold on to that pick, i.e. there's no Garrett trade or Crosby trade, any trade for a caliber of player that costs you that pick and probably more, then I think they're probably going to draft defense. But if they make that trade and they have a second round pick as their top pick on Friday, I wouldn't rule anything out, and that includes receiver to me. But if you keep your picks and there is no Garrett, Crosby, Micah Parsons trade out there to be had or be made, or you just don't like the price or whatever it is, they held on to their picks. I'd be stunned if they didn't draft a big lineman or an edge guy. Like, I think something up front is what would be picked at 30 in that case. But you get Garrett, then it's a different thing, but you don't have the pick.
That's kind of what the mocks seem to be telling us to look forward to that, and we already were. 803-0550 is the number. Maybe you watched some of the combine or even a lot of it and had some interesting takeaway. Saying about the Bills, like, there's a feeling I have of not malaise, but just like, okay, you know, defensive line, whatever it is, like, okay, it'll probably make sense. And it wouldn't likely move me too much. Maybe shouldn't move that many people at all to sort of like what the expectations are, if they're really going to be different. Because that's drafting at the end of the first round. That's how that goes. And then there's the Sabres, who, in a very different way, yeah, do whatever you want. You know, but how is it going to be different? That's kind of what I'm saying about the Bills, right? Like, show me how this is going to be different. As, of course, they've done so much winning, but then fall short. And the Sabres just cannot get off the ground. And so, yeah, do whatever you want. Okay, sure, maybe it'll make sense. Maybe it won't.
Right.
But maybe it will. And then... Good. Congrats. Yeah. I don't know. It's this week for them. The deadline is Friday, and they have games tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday to keep us occupied. At Montreal tonight, pregame at 6. Again, lines open for you. We'll talk to Sal later. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here.